from the Radio Ranch in the heart of Liberty, Texas, that is. It's the Bombastic Broadcast for Tuesday, March the 26th, 2024. I am the G-Man, Dan Gallo.
Hey, G-Man.
You're yourself, defender of the peace, keeper of the justice, purveyor of truth, and one heck of a nice guy. What do you say we get things started with?
The Daily Datagram.
You got it. Words of wisdom, words of inspiration, brain droppings, or noggin nuggets. You get to make the call. Good one here. It says, don't learn the tricks of the trade. Learn the trade. Yeah, see, that way, then you can create your own tricks.
Where's the kaboom? There was supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
Let's move along now to the so-called educational part of the broadcast, shall we?
Twisted history.
Let's do this.
Gather round, kids, because a lot of things happen on this day throughout history.
Indeed.
Some cool, some not so cool. Just the same. You need to know your twisted history.
Yes, you do.
You might be quizzed.
Hey, there you go. Well, kids, it was on this day in 1934 the United Kingdom driving test was introduced. Yeah, and the first test you had to pass was you had to prove that you could drive on the wrong side of the road. And on this day in 1967, 10,000 people gathered for one of many Central Park be-ins in New York City. If you're of a certain age, you remember these. Yeah, they smoked banana peels, sang folk songs, and just generally smelled funny. Now remember, a good many of these people are running the country today.
Oh, no.
Initially, you're going to think I'm making this stuff up, but I'm not. This is from an article that crossed my desk over the weekend, and I thought it would be a good idea to pass it along to you. Physical appearance is often, more often than not, seen as a measure of one's character or one's importance to society. And the recent story of a Tennessee truck driver with a rare condition known as demon face syndrome has sparked both curiosity and controversy. Now, being a conservative, I'm no stranger to the harsh judgment and labeling of those who may not conform to societal norms. But what's the real story behind this unusual condition, and how does it fit into our conservative beliefs? Now, the article goes to great lengths to point this out. And the shocking images of a 59-year-old truck driver, his name is John Smith, really, that's his name, with his distorted facial features resembling a demonic creature, have taken the internet by storm. Let me try to describe what's happening here. If you were to take your hands, one hand on each side of your face, and stretch your face out in an outward position, that's what this is. Only two extremes. Now, according to medical experts, Smith is one of only 75 people in the entire world who've been diagnosed with this condition, also known as craniofacial microsomia. And they dug into this story, the writers of the article, who, by the way, go unnamed. And you can't help but wonder, is this a sign of some divine punishment? Or a manifestation of evil forces? Or could there be a scientific explanation? Well, for those of us who hold on to conservative values, it may be easy to dismiss this condition as a mere anomaly or a freak of nature. But as Smith bravely shared his story, shared his daily struggles and the discrimination that he faces, which you can imagine, it became pretty clear that there's a lot more to this story than meets the eye. Now, Smith described the constant stares, whispers, and even cruel comments he gets from strangers, who view him as some kind of a monster, of course. It's a cruel reminder that society still values physical appearance above all else, and that those who don't fit the mold are often ostracized. So as conservatives, you know, we believe in individual responsibility and the importance of self-reliance. But in the case of individuals like Smith, who were born with rare conditions that affect their physical appearance, it can be pretty tough to live up to these ideals. And Smith shared how his condition has made it nearly impossible for him to find steady employment, causing financial strain, of course, and difficulty in providing for his family. And this raises important questions about how society can better support those who are different and help them overcome the obstacles that they face. And while some may view this condition as a sign of otherness or even a threat, As conservatives, we value the uniqueness and diversity of individuals. It's a fundamental principle that sets us apart from other political ideologies, and it is through understanding and acceptance of those who may not fit into societal norms that we can truly uphold this belief. In fact, Smith's story serves as a reminder to us all to treat each other with kindness and compassion, regardless of appearances. Yes, that even means liberals. And as the media continues to sensationalize the story, we shouldn't forget that behind the distorted features lies a human being with feelings, emotions, and a story to tell like the rest of us. Smith's courage in sharing his story sheds light on a condition that's often overlooked and misunderstood. And it's through his bravery that we can challenge our own biases and prejudices toward those who may be different from us. In a society that values perfection and uniformity, John Smith's story serves as a very powerful reminder that beauty comes in all shapes and forms. And personally, as a conservative, I believe in standing up for the marginalized. You know, the people we refer to as the underdogs, right? And Smith's story is no exception. So it's time to shift the focus from his appearance to his humanity and celebrate his strength and resilience in the face of adversity. Because, you know, after all is said and done, we all know more is said than done, right? But it's not the outer appearance that defines us, but the content of our character. Gee, who first brought that to our attention back in the 1960s? The nation, and I would argue our culture, has been shaken to its core as thousands of illegal aliens brazenly storm past the razor wire and poured over the border in El Paso. And this flagrant display of lawlessness has sparked outrage and concern among conservatives in general, who view it as a blatant disregard for our country's sovereignty. How many times have you heard the analogy about people breaking into your house? This is what's happening. These people are breaking into our house. And our government, who's supposed to be the guardian of all this, seems to be doing nothing. And as the media tries to spin this event as a peaceful protest or humanitarian crisis, I think it's time to shine some light on the true conservative perspective. First and foremost, it must be stated that our country has always welcomed legal immigrants. And we did it with open arms, too. Go back to the 1920s. Amazing stories there about this. But these individuals have chosen to ignore, the ones we're talking about now, have chosen to ignore the proper channels and instead have forced their way into our country, disregarding our laws and putting themselves and others at risk. And this type of behavior can't be tolerated or condoned. Not now, not ever. And of course, reasonable people are believing that Donald Trump is going to retake the White House and do something about this. But you have to understand, this incident is just one example of the growing threat of illegal immigration. Although, I will say this, El Paso incident is a real waker-upper. People are starting to really pay attention. I know that sounds so silly. Starting to, finally, after 3 years and some change. But it's no secret that our southern border's been a hotbed for criminal activity. You got your drug trafficking, your human smuggling, and the influx of illegal aliens only exacerbates these issues and puts our every citizen in danger. And as conservatives, I think we believe in protecting our borders and keeping our communities safe, right? Fair assumption there. And despite what the mainstream media may try to portray, this was not a peaceful protest. It was not. I don't know if you saw this, but I mean, they attacked our officers and wasn't a pretty sight. Reports indicate that some individuals were armed with weapons and even threw rocks at Border Patrol agents. And, you know, come on, this type of aggression and violence can't be tolerated in any situation. And it's clear that these individuals have no respect for the rule of law. And certainly the current administration isn't demanding it. Moreover, the fact that these illegal aliens were able to breach the concertina wire, that's that razor wire, highlights the need for stronger border security. And President Trump has been advocating for a border wall since his campaign. And this incident serves as a pretty stark reminder of why it's necessary, why it's time to prioritize the safety and security of our nation and its citizens. I mean, we've got this illegal aliens attacking people in places like New York City, Chicago, America's heartland. Come on, we can't tolerate this. And I don't know why President Biden hasn't been held to account for this. And we can't forget, too, the impact this event has on legal immigrants who follow the proper procedures to come to this country. I just moved away from the town of Sugar Land, Texas, in the wake of a divorce. Sugar Land, great town, great town. And in the neighborhood where I lived, I was a minority. All of my neighbors were either Pakistani or Indian. And they came in legally. Ask any one of them how much it cost them in legal fees to just come here to live legally. And ask them then how many years it'll be before they actually qualify to become a citizen. And they're paying lots and lots of money for the privilege, and they view it as a privilege. So, I don't know. I mean, people like them, they've waited patiently and followed the rules only to see these people, these illegal aliens, blatantly disregard them and still be granted entry. And this isn't fair to those people. Additionally, this incident, which was really just a terrible incident, further exposes the failures of the Biden administration's immigration policies. Blatant failures. In fact, I would think they're not failures. I think this is whitewashing it. If you call it a failure, it's not a failure. This is being done with intent. The lax enforcement and rhetoric of the current administration has pretty much created an environment where illegal aliens feel emboldened, encouraged maybe, to make dangerous and illegal crossings. It's time for our leaders to take responsibility. And I mean all our leaders on both sides of the fence. I don't think the Republicans in Washington are screaming loud enough. Jim Jordan, you need to yell more. And we need to hear more from people like Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana. This issue must be addressed now. You know, the breach of the concertina wire and the pouring of illegal aliens over the border in El Paso is a grave violation of our laws and is really a threat to the nation's security. In the long term, I mean, the nation we're going to be living in 20 years from now is a far cry from the one we're living in now. And as conservatives, we must stand firmly against this type of lawlessness. And we need to really start bitching for stronger border security measures to be put into place. It's time for our leaders, all our leaders, to put the safety and well-being of our country, our citizens, and our culture first. My thanks to Joe Hoft over at the Gateway Pundit for this story, but President Trump released an absolutely brilliant campaign video on Joe Biden's campaign lies. Now, of course, I don't know if you've seen the video yet that I referred to earlier of what took place in El Paso, but it is not just mind-boggling, it's frightening. It may even give you shivers. But it was hundreds of illegal aliens rushing the border wall and breaking through razor wire. Now, hundreds of illegal aliens from Africa, Central America, Colombia, and Venezuela made a rush for the border in El Paso after they were pushed south of the concertina wire in the middle of the night by the National Guard. Well, these illegals breached the concertina wire, that's razor wire, overwhelmed National Guard members and made a rush for the border. Now, this is frightening stuff to watch on video. Can you imagine being there? So, I don't know. It took me aback when I saw the video. I was like, this can't be happening. I mean, what is wrong with a nation protecting its sovereignty by shooting people who do this? Other nations do it. Well, our governor here in Texas, Greg Abbott, and our attorney general, Ken Paxton, have taken pretty drastic action to stem the flow of illegal aliens. The Texas National Guard has installed more razor wire to stop the flow of illegals against the protests of the federal government, I might add. And President Trump, though, took the footage of this shocking incident and mixed it with the words of Joe Biden, VP Kamala Harris, or is it Kamala? Anyhow, And, of course, the impeached director of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas.
It is my testimony that the border is secure.
An undocumented person. And I shouldn't have used illegal. It's undocumented.
We have a secure border in that that is a priority for any nation, including ours and our administration.
I'm not going to treat any of these people with disrespect. Look, they built the country.
So President Trump's campaign posted that Sunday morning, and it's an effective piece. It really is. And just keep watching. You want to know what the truth is about the Biden administration? Just keep watching. You don't even need to follow the money anymore. I always tell people, you know, you want to get answers to things that are matters of subterfuge in our government. Follow the money. Follow the money. You don't even need to follow the money anymore. Just watch their actions. That tells it all. Embattled Fulton County District Attorney Fani Willis said that her election interference case against former President Trump will continue, and that her office hasn't been delayed by proceedings regarding a relationship with her former top prosecutor. She said, "I don't feel like we've been slowed down at all." And this is when she was talking to CNN back on Saturday. And those were her first comments since a judge ruled earlier this month that she doesn't need to be removed from the case. She also said, "I think there are efforts to slow down the train, but the train is coming." Yeah. Anyhow, in the case, President Trump and more than a dozen other co-defendants face charges in relation to alleged attempts to illegally overturn the 2020 election in Fulton County. Now, Trump has pleaded not guilty, saying that he's being wrongfully prosecuted in an attempt to harm his 2024 presidential chances. And I don't know of anybody who sees it any other way. Everybody, even people on the left, agree that this is really what's happening. Now, Willis spoke just days after the same judge, Judge Scott McAfee, allowed attorneys for the former president and other co-defendants to appeal his ruling for a review. Now, the judge ordered that either the district attorney or her former special prosecutor, Nathan Wade, needs to stop working on the case. And then Mr. Wade later resigned. Now, defense lawyers had alleged that Ms. Fani Willis, engaged in a romantic relationship with Mr. Wade, which the two confirmed in a February court hearing, and that they financially benefited from the arrangement. And yet the two denied the latter allegations. So, anyhow, in the CNN interview, again, that was on Saturday, Ms. Willis said that she's not embarrassed by anything that she's done. Well, bully for her. She says, "I guess my greatest crime is that I had a relationship with a man, but that's not something I find embarrassing in any way." Which I can understand that, actually, yeah. She also stressed she didn't do anything that's illegal. Judge McAfee ruled there wasn't enough evidence to back claims that Ms. Willis financially benefited in the case, but described a relationship as a tremendous lapse in judgment. Okay, I'll buy that. And although some analysts have said that Ms. Willis and Mr. Wade perjured themselves during statements they made in court last month, the judge didn't respond to those claims. So, I don't know. There was a lot of cell phone data that was used in this particular case that kind of served to get her in trouble. But the judge wrote, "However, an odor of mendacity remains." Anyhow, the pair also insisted they didn't begin dating until after Mr. Wade became special prosecutor and that the relationship ended in the summer of 2023. They both said that Ms. Willis either paid for things herself or used cash to reimburse him for travel expenses. Again, follow the money. They did. They couldn't find anything to prosecute her on. However, a witness who used to be Ms. Willis's landlord and a friend testified that she saw them engaging in hugging and kissing as far back as 2019. Defense attorneys submitted an affidavit that analyzed Mr. Wade's cell phone data, showing that he had texted and called Ms. Willis thousands of times before he was hired in November of 2021. The data also allegedly showed that he visited the neighborhood where Ms. Willis had lived numerous times in the same period. So Mr. Wade offered his resignation in a letter to Ms. Willis earlier in March, saying he was resigning in the interest of democracy in dedication to the American public and to move this case forward as quickly as possible. Well, attorneys for President Trump and the other defendants said in court that Mr. Wade's resignation wasn't enough to correct the appearance of impropriety that the judge found. And defense lawyers said that a failure to remove the district attorney could imperil any convictions and force a retrial if an appeals court later finds it was warranted. Now, that would be a sticky mess. President Trump's attorneys wrote in an appeal of Judge McAfee's ruling last week, quote, whether District Attorney Willis and her office are permitted to continue representing the state of Georgia in prosecuting the defendants in this action is of the utmost importance to this case, and ensuring the appellate courts have the opportunity to weigh in on these matters pre-trial is paramount. He's got good attorneys, I will tell you that. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, an attorney for one of President Trump's co-defendants, Ashley Merchant, suggested in a recent Fox News interview that she's going to reveal new leads and more details during the appeals process. She argued that Ms. Willis was unable to bring anything to actually back up her claims about the relationship. And after Ms. Willis' comments to CNN on Saturday, Anthony Michael Kreis, who's a Georgia State University law professor, has been following the case, criticized her remarks in a post on social media platform X. And he wrote, if I were Fani Willis, I would simply not talk to the media at all at this point, just out of an abundance of caution. But then again, she is a bit of a showboat, isn't she? The case is separate from the 2020 election interference case brought by special counsel Jack Smith in Washington's federal court. And that case is currently on hold while the U.S. Supreme Court weighs President Trump's claims of presidential immunity with oral arguments scheduled for next month. And as I always say, stay tuned. Oh, that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC. She's quite a character, isn't she? Over the weekend, she said that former President Trump orchestrated a terrorist attack on January 6th. Said that while she was on CNN's State of the Union. And Jake Tapper, of course, loves to play into all this baloney. He asked, before listing the number of politically motivated civil and criminal cases targeting the former president, he says, what do you say to an independent voter or an average voter who looks at what's going on with Donald Trump? What do you say to a voter who says, well, that doesn't look like he's being treated equally before the law? That looks like somebody the government's going after. So then she chimes in with, has there ever been a president, Republican or Democrat, that's been subject to this level of criminal charges, indictments, and investigations? This isn't about party. This is not about politics. We're talking about an individual who ordered essentially a terrorist attack on the Capitol of the United States in order to retain power. That's not about being a Republican. It's not about being a Democrat. It's about being an unethical individual who is subject and prone to criminality. Now, we're all aware of how disjointed her thinking process, assuming she even has a thinking process, is, right? And AOC has repeatedly exaggerated the extent of the January 6th Capitol protest, because that's what it was. It was a protest that kind of degenerated into a riot, but it was not by any semblance of the definition, it was not an insurrection. Anyhow, in the days following the incident, the squad Democrat, because that's what she is, she's part of the squad, gave a number of interviews in which she claimed she feared for her life. Hey, AOC, you're not that important. Nobody wants your life. So at the time, she says, you have all of those thoughts where at the end of your life, and all of these thoughts come rushing to you, and that's what happened to a lot of us on Wednesday. I didn't know if I was going to make it to the end of that day alive. And then she went on to claim that a number of her colleagues and congressional staffers were almost killed. They weren't killed, but they were almost killed. And they had to spend a lot of time in rehab after being almost killed. So her overly dramatic claims have faced quite a bit of backlash since it was revealed that AOC wasn't even in the building at the time of the riot. And a lot of people have been referring to it as a minor riot. Well, anyhow, Her rhetoric on January 6th represents a complete reversal from her stance on the Black Lives Matter race riots in 2020. It's interesting to probe into this. The whole point of protesting is to make people uncomfortable. That's what she had to say about it. She really said that. And understand that those riots caused billions, not just millions, but billions of dollars in property damage. And it forced then President Trump into a bunker, and it caused more than 20 deaths. So none of this is really a laughing matter. But here you have AOC making a mockery of the entire event by just appearing on television. And I wish we could put a muzzle on her, but we can't. And I will continue to defend the First Amendment. But what I would caution you to do is, when somebody like her opens her yap, opens her pie hole, pay very close attention to what she's saying. Watch her facial expressions and body language, too, because then I think you will begin to realize what a phony she is. To the Comedy Corner with a very funny lady. Her name is Monique Marvez.
So here's the thing, you know, pick a guy that's easygoing and one that you like, because you can't change them. I don't know if anybody's ever told you that, but they're going to stay the way you meet them for their whole life. And in fact, they might even get worse. And people get upset with me. They go, don't say that, Monique. And I'm going to say it three times for each one of my failed marriages, okay? You can't change a man, you can't change a man, you can't change a man. Why? Because they're in their simplest form. It's like bending a rock, okay? Element 119 on the elemental table, man. All right? I'm going to tell you some things. And the men are not upset. Look, he's applauding. This guy's happy. He's like, thank you. If you operate under the premise that men are simple and delusional and women are crazy and complicated, your life gets instantly good, okay? It's biblical. The truth will set you free. Watch this. Watch this. Exhibit A, okay? Sir, are you offended by me saying you're simple?
No.
No, he's delighted. Did you see the look on his face? Because he wants her to understand and quit nagging him. He's like, finally, someone on my side, okay? No, it's true. Quit laughing. I don't have a lot of time. I want to help her because I've made mistakes. And I'm taking ownership of them. I'm going to tell you, you know, how we ruin things as women because we overthink. We think too much and we overthink things. You know, that's why we get crazy. And I'm going to explain it to you. I'm not a scientist, but I think the ratio of thought to speech with a woman is 15 to 1. Okay? We wake up in the morning, we flip on the turbines, and it's go time. Every time a woman utters a sentence, all right? For one sentence, there's 15 potentials spinning around at a high speed, picking up houses and cows and causing chaos. And it's hard to think that much and not have it go to a dark place. You're going to freak yourself out by breakfast, all right? In fact, guys, I'm going to confirm one of your worst fears. Women plan preemptive strikes against you for stuff you haven't even done yet, okay? You're just watching a ball game and she's saying, oh yeah, and if he does this, I'm going to do that. I'm going to get even with him. He is not getting away with that. And you're just minding your own business, all right? Women get upset. They go, Monique, you make it sound like we should lower our standards when it comes to our men. No, don't lower your standards. Lose them all together, okay? If you learn nothing else from this show, and the men are not offended, they're delighted, okay? She understands us because the ratio of thought to speech with a man is 0.5 to 1. Every time a man utters a sentence, half the words have escaped his lips. Unchecked, unfiltered, unthought about. They just get out like little invisible paintballs, pelting and annoying the women around him. What I call DDS, dumb dude statements, all right? Watch this. Have you ever said something stupid?
What?
Yeah, see?
Do it. Get out there and make it a terrific Tuesday. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you on tomorrow's bombastic blogcast. Remember, no such thing as spare change, free lunch, or too much horsepower. And be sure to take some time today just to thank the good Lord that you're an American.
You mean that's it?
See you tomorrow, G-Man.